So it's good to be here. Appreciate Pastor John calling and love and appreciate him and Kim. Good friends for a lot of years and appreciate that. And I don't know where they're at. Somebody said, where are they at? I have no idea. He didn't tell me where he's going. Just getting away. Amen? And pastors need to get away. Yes? You realize that? After pastoring all the years I pastored, believe me, pastors need to get away. They need to get away. Or, you know what happens? Now, I'm not preaching this. They'll burn out. You know what I'm saying? They'll burn out. Absolutely. I just had a pastor recently that I told years ago. And I was watching him and a good friend of his. And he was pastoring, he and his wife, and they wouldn't take any time off. I called him a name and I said, friend, you need to take time off with your wife. You need to break out or it'll destroy you. That's years ago. Just recently he shared with me, I'm telling you this with your pastor and his wife because of that. So he was talking to me, and we met in Breezewood. He said, I remember years ago you told me to get away or the church could destroy me. He said, it nearly has. He said, I didn't get away. But he said, God brought that word back to me that you said years and years ago, advising him to stay alive in the Lord, and you have to break away, get alone with Jesus. Can you say amen? And your wife and spend time. Amen. So anyway, I don't know why I said that. Other than for your pastor, it's good for him to be away. That's what I'm trying to say. Really what it is. Yeah. Yes.
It's true.
Amen. So it isn't only just a pastor, it's nurses and people that care for other people. Amen. I want to share several things with you. In fact, I have a lot of things to share with you. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I'll never get done with this message today. All right? I will never get done. I know that because the Lord laid some other things in my heart to share with you entering into this. And if there's a title to this, it's Beyond the Veil. Beyond the Veil. And I like to start with words of wisdom to give you something to think about. The number one thing is, you cannot steer a car when it's parked. Amen? The Lord said in Exodus 14, tell the children of Israel to go forward. You cannot steer a car when it's parked. The second thing, and I want to share with you a word of wisdom, is that good enough isn't good enough today. It isn't good enough. Not today, not the day that we are living in. And June the 24th, Wednesday, June the 24th of 2015, I get up in the morning, getting ready for the day, and as I was preparing, the Lord dropped a word into my heart. And what he spoke to me was one word. It was the word hyperbole. Hyperbole. And I just stopped dead. And I started talking to him about that. I said, well, Lord, that word is not completely strange, but I don't know when I have used that word myself. But I went down to my office and I started researching this word, hyperbole. I want to give you a definition of that word. Now, the reason I'm doing this is the reason the Lord gave it to me, because I have shared this all over the state of Pennsylvania. It's the day we're living in. And he doesn't want you or any one of us caught up with hyperbole. And our nation is filled with it. Our churches are filled with it. I just listened to it. Let me tell you what that word hyperbole means. It means an exaggerated statement used as a figure of speech. Now, this is what he said. He just dropped one word, hyperbole. When he said that, he does that for our good. You agree? It's never for our harm. It's always for our good. There's a lot of meanings. Magnification. Magnification. Not truth. Magnification. Exaggeration. Overstatement. Overstatement. Overemphasis. It's dangerous. Jesus Christ wants you to know this is a dangerous day you're living in, and it will affect you. These things. Embellishment. Stretch of the imagination. Figure of speech. That's what he wants you to know. You listen to the news. You listen, get on the internet, and this word is just running rampant in our nation. One thing came to me when I was looking at this, and it's not the most important thing that we're dealing with today is ISIS cutting off the heads of Christians and destroying Christians in the world, but climate change. Now, we're talking about truth. We're not talking about people. How many of you are with me? Be cautious of hyperbole. It absolutely will affect you. It will affect you. Overstatements, things saying things, people coming into your life and saying things and doing things. And so we're secure because we're in the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. You either gain in the Lord and move in the Lord through your daily life, or you lose out with the Lord. We need to come to church. We need to worship God. We need to hear the word. We need to do that. But what you're doing at 2:00 on Tuesday, amen, and the decisions you're making on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday is going to determine your relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether we maintain a first love relationship or we don't. And I've never seen such deception in my entire life. And I pastored a lot of years, been around a lot of times. Joseph was in our church in Philadelphia, pastored there for years. But I've never seen a day like today. So I'm here one time and I'm gone. But I want to share with you what the Lord has laid upon my heart. Another thing that he laid on my heart and with beyond the veil is I've asked a lot of people, and I, you know, the Lord does things always, and we can pass by him and we don't recognize him. I have asked a number of people about this article that was in the Bedford Gazette some time ago. It was July the 15th, 2015 is when it was there. But it was about the Pluto. And I read that, and I've asked pastors and a lot of people since that time, very few people, it never clicked with them. And I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that the Lord quickened this thing to me. And I want to share that with you beyond the veil where the Lord is working and what he is doing. He's showing us things about eternity to me through what happened from Nassau. And we could miss that. We could just go by it, and I have found very few people that read it or even thought about it, in the light that the Lord revealed this thing to me. But Nassau sent forth a spacecraft called New Horizon in 2006. Did anybody here read that article? That's what I'm finding most places, that they didn't read it or it never clicked with what's God's message here with this. Matt has pondered that thing. I've got article, I've got copies of it at the house. It just really hit me. But 2006, Nassau sent forth New Horizon to take pictures of Pluto, the planet. And what really got me was, 9.5 years later, into space, it started sending back pictures of Pluto. 9.5 years later. And it just hit me. God said, I will give you eternal life, and there's no end. And this hit me. Here's man that can take a spacecraft and send it 9.5 years into space. 3 billion miles. 3 billion miles at 31,000 miles an hour. And 9.5 years later, it arrives at the planet Pluto. And it just hit me. This is 9.5 years. What about for eternity? What about forever? It just gripped my heart. I said, God, you are something. He sent a message back to Earth, and I believe we missed it. He said, take a look. And the thought came to me as I was reading that and looking at that. I said, who put Pluto there anyway? Who made Pluto? Who put it out there? Who gave the men the knowledge to send a spacecraft out for 9.5 years to take pictures of a round ball? Why is it round? Who made it? Who put Pluto there? God. And this scripture, well, another thing that they did, it was so far out, and they would send a message from Nassau to the spacecraft, and it took 4.5 hours. For the message to get from Nassau to the spacecraft. And it took another 4.5 hours to get from the spacecraft back to Nassau. 9 hours to get a message out there and the computer to respond and send a message back. Awesome. Forever. Eternal life. No end. God said, don't you see? He said, I'm speaking to the whole world. He did something, sent it out, and he put it in the newspaper. I said, oh, God, 9.5 years, 3 billion miles. And we human beings talk about 3,000 to go to the West Coast. And we talk about 70 miles an hour, and this was traveling 31,000 miles an hour. He is a big God. Big God. He's a big God. It just spoke to my heart and made me love him even more. Can you say amen? Love him even more. That he's willing to do this and show us to understand And I'm going to read two verses of Scripture quickly as I move on. In Joel 2:30, and the Lord said, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Is this a wonder? I thought, what have we missed? How could we miss this? How could we miss this? The depth of God. He said, you will be with me forever. Forever. I can't even imagine it. If God could do this with a little spacecraft to speak to your heart and my heart about himself and taking pictures of a planet. Yes, he was saying to me, yes, I have, the scientists talk about planets. But he said, what I'm going to do, he said, I am taking pictures and sending them back to you to look at. That what I say in my word and what the scientists are saying, believe it. Does that make sense to you? Believe it. Believe it. That relationship with him. In Psalms 19, 1 through 3, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Do they ever? God help us to be free from the entanglement in life. Oh, get so entangled in living, don't we? Oh, entangled in this situation, that situation, all this stuff. See, God, keep me free as we were singing today. Wash my hands, purify my heart. Amen. By the hour, by the moment. Oh, my church. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day, they utter speech. And night unto night, reveal knowledge. He said, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I say, thank you, Jesus, for giving us ears to hear your voice, the voice of the heaven that you've created to glorify yourself, and then revealing it to we people, human beings, little bits of whatever, a drop in an ocean here on this earth, that we can look and our faith can grow and we can love him more than we've ever loved him before. Can you say amen? To believe the impossible, someone said, one must first see the invisible. I believe that. I think that's what this is all about, really, I do. God is operating beyond the veil, church, of the natural world. We are entangled in a natural world. The flesh, his five senses. Jesus said in John 18:36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It isn't. You and I know that. It isn't of this world. I was looking back in the book of Exodus, and it opens with Moses hearing God speaking from the middle of a burning bush. Exodus 3, starting with verse 1, if you're reading it in your Bible. He said, there the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. Verse 3 said, this is amazing. Moses said to himself, why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. When I was reading this, church, I got so taken up with the bush that you say, Pastor, that's sort of foolish. Well, I'm not so sure, because the Lord speaks to us in different ways to bring different truths out. Can you say amen? I got to thinking about this bush out there in the backside, a lonely bush out there in the backside of the desert, in a wilderness area. And I got to thinking, you know, what would that bush say about itself if it could talk? You ever imagine that? And I think, I just wrote down some things here that I thought that bush, the bush would say. And I think that bush would say, man, here am I out here with all these other bushes, and I'm an overlooked bush. I've been out here all this time, and I'm overlooked. Amen? And I believe that bush would say, I'm very insignificant. All these other bushes all around everywhere. So I think I'm very insignificant. I think that bush would say that. And small. Bushes are normally small. Amen? I think the bush would say, man, I am small. I'm weak. The wind blows, and I can hardly have enough strength to even resist the wind. It just blows me all around. And he said, I think he would say, I feel pretty worthless. Amen? So I got to thinking, who created the bush in the first place? Who created that bush out there? How long do you think that bush was out there in the wilderness? 5 years? 10 years? 15 years? How long? Could have been out there maybe 25 years. I don't really know. I don't have any idea. But the Lord took my mind to the bush. I got to thinking, and I went back and checked. It's been about 3,500 years since that happened. I thought, now God, why would you put all that stuff about a bush and you speaking through the bush out there in the middle of a desert, and here we are living 3,500 years later? What the world for message does that have? What's that have to do with us? A bush engulfed in flame and you speaking through the middle of a bush. It says from the middle of the bush is where God spoke from it, through it. In Romans, I went back and I thought, well, there's got to be a purpose here. So Romans 15:4, I went back. I found two verses of Scripture that I think really tells us why 3,500 years later, the Lord would be revealing some things that happened out there in the wilderness with all those bushes, in this bush in particular. In Romans 15:4, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. I said, all right. I'm willing, Lord, to learn. It goes on to say that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I said, whoa, glory to God. I need hope. How about you? You need hope? Anybody here need hope? You don't need hope. Well, I need hope. I can tell you that. In the time we're living, I need hope. 1 Corinthians 10:11, found another verse. It said, now all these things happen to them as examples. Oh, I thought, that's pretty good, Lord. And they were written for our admonition, 3,500 years later, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, in the Old Testament, you and I realize that it's just filled with types and shadows and pictures of all kinds. And it really started forming exactly what the Lord. Because this bush was a type of Jesus Christ, type of believers. I thought, well, I need to do something here with this. The fire of God indwelling. And then I got to thinking about us. And I thought, you know, we're just bushes ourselves, aren't we? Just a bunch of bushes. I thought, well, we're bush people. Well, I've been down on the Amazon, so I know what that is back in that area. I've been there, so I understand bush people. But this is a different bush people that the Lord's speaking about here. Many of us as bushes in the world would say pretty much what that bush, I think, would have said. We've been overlooked. A bush out here just serving the Lord. I'm very insignificant. How many of you feel significant today? How many of you feel insignificant in the light of the world? Amen? This is what the Lord is saying. So I thought, well, this is it. And then I think as bush people, most of us feel like we're pretty small compared to the big people that's operating in this world. Amen? So we're pretty small. And perishing. If we don't find Christ, we're going to perish. And I think that's what this is as bush people. And then we as bush people or bushes, then we would feel like we're very weak in the world. I got to be honest with you. Today, if there's things I could do, I'd do them. And I got to be totally honest to God with you. There's some people that's doing some things. I'd zap them out. No, you're okay. Well, some of you being honest to God, honestly, yeah. What would you do if ISIS had one walk through the door? Say, oh, brother. You understand what I'm saying? So there's some things that we look, but we're weak. Amen? So we can't do that. We realize that. Then all of a sudden, we bushes are living, and Jesus shows up, and here's what he said. Here's what the Lord gave me the verse. The Lord appeared and said, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with a loving kindness, I have drawn you. You may be a bush that's overlooked. You may feel like you're insignificant. You may be small. You may feel like you're worthless, perishing, and weak. But Jesus Christ shows up. Amen? Boy, you're quiet. Are you always this quiet? No? Maybe I lost you so far. Maybe I lost the bushes. I don't know. But then John 15:16, he said, you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you to be, and I put down my burning bush. Out of 7 billion people in the earth, or approximately, he chose you to be his burning bush. Now remember, he spoke out of the middle of the burning bush in the backside of the desert. Amen? Who's he going to speak through today? You. His bushes. Amen? So that's really honest to God who we are. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, Jesus, who is coming after me, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, well, that bush was burning with fire back there 3,500 years ago. Amen? And out of the middle of that, God spoke. When Jesus saves us, fills us with the Holy Spirit and fire, the Holy Spirit fire burns within you like the fire in the bush in the backside of the desert. So he'll send you out into this area. We was out yesterday, as Paul said, and we probably knocked on doors and contacted at least 100 homes, 100 individuals yesterday, searching for souls. The fire of God burning in this bush. Amen? And that fire, God will speak through your mouth, through your bush, to souls that are lost, that are hurting all over this community. That's what we were doing yesterday. Some people was relaxing or washing the car. We were knocking on doors for Jesus Christ. Because I believe the burning bush is alive today. Can you say amen? I believe the fire of God is burning in you and burning in me, and he wants to be released into the lives of people that are lost and dying without God. Can you say amen? So I got to thinking about this, about the fire of God and the Holy Spirit coming in, and how the arrival of God with that burning bush changed the whole bush. That bush was no longer just a bush. It was a bush filled with the fire of God and God speaking out of the middle of it. And he'll speak through you right out of the middle of the inner sanctum of your soul where he dwells and lives above the mercy seat between the cherubims. God said there, out of that temple, he said, don't you know your body's the temple of God? Yes, and there's always an inner sanctum in every temple. And from the inner sanctum in your temple, from your bush, he will speak right out of the middle, right out. And the fire of God will flow out from you and save souls and heal people and do the things that should be. But I thought about the arrival of the fire of God in that bush and how he surrounded the bush and how it does the same thing. It affects us. When the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, and fire arise, it absolutely affects. It's because he comes in from beyond the veil. Where did the Spirit come from? Well, beyond the veil, there's natural chairs and natural room and natural building, but the Holy Spirit fell from beyond the veil. Come in beyond the veil. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life from beyond the veil, he will change your life. Your natural life is never the same. In Acts 2:2-3, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, we could all quote it, as of a rushing mighty wind, filled the whole house where they were sitting. There were appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. Fire. God consumed. Moses said, how could that bush be so consumed with fire? And it's not consumed. Well, it's us. He fills us with his fire, his Holy Ghost and fire. Well, we're not consumed. Can you say amen? We're not consumed. But we're changed. And it says, and this tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. Fire of God identified Israel. Israel was identified. And the fire of God will identify you. You will be identified by the fire of God. Because he comes in from beyond the veil. Jesus said, the wind blows. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. It's beyond the veil. That's what he was saying about salvation. He said, that's what it is. So when we come in. So it doesn't really matter whether we are part of this church or any church, but the fire of God identifies us. It identifies us with him, and it sets us apart from every religious system in the entire world. The fire of God does. There's none like him. So they can say what they want to say. And they can deal with the intellect. But the God we deal with is comes in from beyond the veil. And he set you on fire. And he set you apart. You are identified by the fire of God. Can you say amen? That's how you're identified. You're identified by the fire of God that's burning within you, that's speaking through you, is his people. And that's what he is saying here to us. And so it's beyond the veil that we go to him. He come in beyond the veil, and we go to him in worship beyond the veil, the natural veil that we live in. Can you say amen? In Psalms 27:8. It says, when you, the Lord said, seek my face, that means the Lord's presence. He said, my heart said to you, your face and your presence, Lord, I will seek. The Lord spoke to you. He said, seek my face. And then the psalmist said, and my heart responded, your heart responds and said, Lord, your face or your presence, I will seek. Can you say amen? Then I was looking and the Lord took me over to Exodus 34. And I got to thinking and looking here at this thing of what the Lord is doing and beyond the veil and how we to deal with this. 34 in verse 1. And this is New King James, if you're looking. I should have told you before, but here's what it says, church. And the Lord said to Moses, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And he says, and no man shall come up with you. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. Be ready. God said, Moses, be ready. Ready for what? Ready to go to Walmart? Cheese to get gas or a hot dog or? What are you saying to you, church? Are you ready? God said, be ready. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, this may not hit you like it hit me, but it hit me. It's just like you took a dagger and put that dagger right through my soul. Joseph shook me up. God said to Gary Bohr, be ready. Not Sunday morning in church or Sunday night. He said, I'm saying to you, be ready. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, be ready. Don't watch certain TV programs. Don't watch certain junk on computers. Don't get involved in some of those things. He said, be ready. And anyone on there, if you're reading your Bible, you read it, it's there. And he said, come up in the morning. Boy, I got to thinking about that. What if God speaks to you today and said, be ready? Come up in the morning. Where? Come up to Bedford? No, into God's presence. Come up. He said, get ready. Be ready. And he said, come up. And then I kept reading that. Get ready. Come up. For what? He said, come up and present yourself to me. So, God. Oh, it's like I had a meltdown. I presented myself to a lot of people. But present myself to God? You want to come up in the morning and present yourself to God that knows everything? Knows the beginning from the end? Knows the thoughts before we think them? Knows when we sit down? Knows when we stand up? How many of you are with me? Have I lost you? Are you with me? Let me see if your hand, if you're with me. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I believe that's where we're living. I believe he could speak this today. He said, get ready. We've got to say, God, wash my hands and purify my heart. Because who could go before the Lord other than those with clean hands and a pure heart? But the world has influenced so many people. I don't care how long you serve the Lord. I don't care. How is it today? How is your relationship with Jesus today? How is it today? My wife and I are dealing with a couple right now in Missouri. I married them in Philadelphia. She met a 22 years they've been married. Are you ready? I'm delivering heart to you today. Pastor John may never have me back. He said, I don't want you back preaching that stuff to my people. But let me tell you what happened. She met a friend. She met a friend. And the friend has influenced this precious woman who was married 22 years.
Are you ready? Her husband is crying from Missouri to me on my phone and texting back and forth. This strange woman came into her life after 22 years of Christian marriage. And she listened to that strange voice. She took a picture of herself. Nothing on but panties. And sent a picture to a married man with two children. Met the man in a parking lot. Are you with me? Hyperbole. People speak junk into our ears, and we're influenced. So people can say, well, that's, I'm just telling you what happened. I'd like for you to listen to the husband that's telling me what's going on with his precious wife of 22 years as a Christian marriage. You say, boy, brother, boy, you're pretty serious. I'm serious I can be about him. He said, get ready and come up and present yourself to me. Now, that may not do anything to you, but I'm telling you what it did to me. You want me to tell you? I just felt like when God was dealing with me on this, I just felt like getting down and praying. That's what it did to me. That's what it did to me. I know I'm dust. And I know I can be influenced. And to present myself to God himself, that's nothing but light, there's no darkness in him, frightening to me. Oh, I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. I know I'm sanctified or being sanctified. I know that. But when God said, come up there and present yourself to me, shook me to the depths of my soul. And then the next thing he went on, I'm his clothes. And the next thing he said in that verse, if you look it up and read, please reread it. He said, no man shall come with you. No man shall come with you. But I say, Father, this is my friend. I want my friend to go with me. My friend. God said, no. You got to go up alone. I got to go up alone and present myself to him. You can tell what it did to me. It stirred my soul. It really did. I got, this is so real. This is absolutely so rich. And then the next thing, it said, Moses rose early in the morning. I said, oh God. What a man of God was he, Moses, that he was willing to rise up early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. The call. I'll close on this. In Proverbs 8:4, here's what God says. He said to you, this is amplified, to you, O men, I call. And my voice is directed to you, the sons of men. It was, church, it was directed there to Moses. But now he said, now my voice is directed. God says, my voice is directed to you. Every one of you. Every one of us. Sometimes I wonder what's happened. We get into so many different churches. In fact, we didn't have a Sunday off for months because we've just all over the state of Pennsylvania. But there's some things you see. We've got to be careful that we don't enter in to the comfort zone. And we're so comfortable. Because I think when the Spirit of God said, my fire is in you. And I want every one of my people to be a burning bush for me that goes into the world and the world can see my fire in them is my burning bush. And when they see it, God said, I will speak. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But God said, I will speak through every one of my bushes to this untoward generation that we're living in. And when you knock on doors like we did yesterday, you find out where people's at and what they are. No condemnation. Concern. Concern, church. Concern for the lost. Somebody without God. Somebody that's not living as they should be living. And they're not ready. They're not ready to go up. So I'm going to ask you in closing. I'm going to ask you this. If you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, please talk to me after the service or talk to one of the leaders in this church. I beg of you, in the name of Jesus, don't go another day without being born again. Don't do it. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is so real. He loves us so much. Yes, he does. But he will not tolerate sin. He's got to judge sin. You know that, and I know that. Yeah, I know there's a lot of grace stuff going around today. I realize that. I was saved by grace. I know that. But he changes from a Lamb of God to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Don't ever forget it. He's here today for you if you're not saved. Jesus Christ presents himself, and John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. There come the Lamb of God walking. And John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. He presents himself to you, to me, to all humanity today as a lamb. You can love on a lamb. That's why he presents himself as a lamb. You could pick a lamb up. You could cuddle it. You could love on it. It would love you back. But the day's coming in Revelation 5 and Revelation that Jesus Christ is going to turn into be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That means he will no longer be a lamb. He turns into a lion. That means he's a judge. Today is our day to come to him and accept him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But maybe not tomorrow. Because when the rapture takes place, there's a change in Jesus Christ. Read it in the book. It's there. Revelation. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, the Lion of the tribe of Judah was the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. And his name is Jesus Christ. We must reach everyone that we can reach while we can reach them. How many of you agree? You've got to do it, church. His fire's in you. His fire. He'll speak right out of the middle of you through your mouth. If we put ourselves there, he wants to do that because he loves humanity. The second thing, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you want to be a burning bush for God in the day you're living, as we pray, I'm going to ask you individually to stand. If you want to do that, if you want to say, God, I want to be your burning bush today, that your fire consumes me and that you will speak out of the middle of the bush just like he did 3,500 years ago. He wants to do that with you. If you want to become that burning bush, as we pray, if you want to find Christ, give your heart to him, then I ask you to come. Individually, if God spoke to you today, in this message, in this truth from his word, I'm just going to ask you as we pray, just to stand. And when you stand, you're simply saying to him, Lord, I want to be a burning bush for you that you can speak through and save souls and heal people and do the things that you want to do. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We sense your presence in this house. Your presence of love. Father, today, if there's one individual here that Jesus, they don't know you personally. They've never met you. They've never come to you. They've never opened their heart, Jesus, to you. Then I pray today would be the day, Jesus, the day would say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, the sin I've sinned against you and against my fellow man. I repent. I'm sorry, Father God, of the sin that I sinned. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you, Jesus, to come in to my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I receive you as the Lord of my life. Help me, Jesus, to serve you faithfully from this day on. In Jesus' name, write my name down in your book of life. Write my name down, Jesus. I want you to write it down. You're the one that's going to look the book over someday and search for my name. I want my name to be in your book. And then, Father, if there's anyone here today in this church that wants to speak to you and say, Lord, I am, or I want to become a burning bush for you. I'm going to be your burning bush, Jesus, in this generation. I want you to consume God, this body, with your Holy Ghost fire. Consume me, Father, in your presence, that you may be able to speak through me. Father God, I pray, as I go out to work, as I go pumping gas, I go to the grocery store, or wherever Jesus today, Lord, I'm willing to stand for you here, that, Lord, you may be able to stand, hallelujah, in me and through me on the outside of these four walls of this building, that when I go out, no matter what I do, that God, that your presence, your anointing, your fire would be seen, like Moses looked at that bush and said, what is causing this fire in that bush? And the people would come to the people that's here today and they would say, what is it about you? What is it? There's something different about you. And that we could say, it's the fire of God. It's Jesus Christ himself living and dwelling within this temple of clay. Do you know him? And Lord, souls would be saved. Names would be written down in your book. People would be healed. People would be delivered. And they'd be ready, as Moses was when you said, get ready. Come on up here and present yourself to me. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for these precious people today. We thank you, Lord. We have delivered our heart to these precious people. They're your people. I know who they are. And I'm your servant. And you give me a word for them. And I've delivered it, Father, to each of them. In Jesus' precious name we come. In your holy name, Lord, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord.